In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Please be seated. Our scripture passage this morning is taken from Malachi. We'll begin reading in the third chapter with the 10th verse. Hear now the word of God. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Let us pray. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for your word. And as we come and we study and listen to your word on this matter of tithing, of giving, Lord, may we find our perspective radically changed. May we come to find the comfort, the assurance, the great security, and the great value that you intend this to provide for us. And may we rejoice in so great a salvation that you have given to us, and that we encounter it every phase, in every turn, in every instruction, in every command that you give us. We see the gospel being proclaimed to us for our well-being, because of your great love. May we, Lord, then be good stewards of this great salvation that you've given us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning, as we turn our attention to our pledges for the upcoming church year, I want us to take a look at the biblical notion of tithing. Now, for those of you who have been at All Saints for a while, I hope that everything in our study will be familiar to you. For you, this study is meant to be a renewal and a refocusing. For those of you who are newer to All Saints, I hope that you will come to see tithing in a whole new light. That is, I hope you will come to see tithing as a proclamation of the gospel and as a demonstration of God's amazing goodness. Needless to say, we're going to take a bit of a different turn, a different angle on our study, and I hope that it will be one not that's motivated by guilt or manipulation, but rather that is based on what Scripture tells us and Scripture says. So this morning, I want us to ask two basic questions. The first question I want to ask is, what is tithing? Is it just an idea of giving, or is it more specific giving than just general giving? What is tithing? And second of all, I want to ask, why does God call us to tithe at all? I mean, is it a money grab? Is God running a little short till the next payday? What's the point? What's the purpose of tithing? What is tithing? Why does God call us to tithe? And so let's begin with our first question. What is tithing? Well, simply put, tithing is God's command that every believer, rich or poor, stressed out or on easy street, is to bring 10% of their total income into God's house. So it's not just general charity or general giving. You don't say to God, well, I gave at the office. Instead, it's 10% specifically that we are called to bring of our total income that we are to bring into God's house for its day in and day out operation. Deuteronomy 14:22. You shall surely tithe all the produce from what you sow, which comes out of the field every year. And notice that's every year. That's not just on the boom years, the fat years. It's both when the harvest is plentiful and when the harvest is lean. Now, why is God calling us to do that, even when things are maybe more scant or maybe a leaner harvest? Is it because God's just being hard-nosed about things? And the answer is no. Because God is retraining your vision. God is reorienting your security. You see, the real basis of your security, the real foundation of your well-being, isn't on the amount of cash that you own or that you have. It isn't simply the money or the things of the world where that is based. Instead, the source of our security and the true source of our well-being is on our Heavenly Father. And guess what? Economics, they come and go. They go up and they go down. We have good years and bad years. But the faithfulness of God never varies. And so right away, God is calling us to act on what is most true, most secure in our lives. Notice the result. The question of whether God is calling me to tithe is not something that I need to agonize over in prayer. I mean, as Christians, we really are oftentimes dramatic to a silly extent, okay? So I've talked to people and they're like, oh, I'm going to go up to the mountains and I'm going to have a retreat. I'm going to have a time of just quiet to discern whether God is telling me to do this or not. And that's ridiculous. Listen, tithing is not something you need to agonize over in prayer. Instead, tithing is commanded in Scripture and therefore is already decided in heaven. God has already told us the answer. We don't need to agonize. We're not waiting for an angel to show up or for a warm, fuzzy feeling. Tithing is commanded in Scripture and therefore already decided in heaven. Listen to Psalm 119:89. Forever, not sometimes, not a couple times, not most times. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he doesn't change who he is. His word doesn't fluctuate from one day to another. It's settled in heaven, and therefore it is already decided. Listen, bottom line, tithing is God's command that you bring 10% of your income into God's house for the day in and day out running of God's house. However, please note, bringing 10% to God's house is merely the what of tithing. If we listen to Scripture, it will also tell us the why of tithing. Why does God call us to tithe? Which is our second question. Brings us to our second question of our sermon. Why did God institute tithing? Why does God call us to tithe? And as we listen to Scripture, the first thing that we notice is that tithing locates us within creation. Okay, you're thinking, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. How in the world is tithing locating us within creation? What do you mean by that? Well, what I mean is that tithing reflects the very essence of existence, the very basis, the very fundamental nature of all of existence that we encounter throughout our lives. It is a reflection of the very basis of this existence. In other words, tithing is not some arbitrary law. It's not something that God just made up because it was a slow Tuesday and he thought you needed to hear from him. It's not a cash grab, like God needs you to spot him a five till payday. That's not it. It's not arbitrary, it's not pointless, and it's not a money grab. Nor is it merely a part of the Old Testament system and therefore of no concern to God's people today. You hear that from time to time. If you've heard that or you're curious about that or if that's where you stand, well, you know, that's just Old Testament stuff. In that footnote, which will be online later today, I'll give you an extensive breakdown of that and why the problems with that view. The main gist of that is that tithing isn't something that's invented in the Old Testament law, in Moses' law. Instead, tithing, the principles of tithing are something we see in the garden before the fall, woven into the very fabric of creation. And then we see it, therefore, long before we ever get to Moses. Abraham tithes to Melchizedek. And so tithing is something that's woven into the very creational foundation, or the principles of tithing, into the very creational foundations of existence. So think about this. Remember this. How does your Bible begin? What's the very first verse in all the Bible? How does the creation account begin? In the beginning, God created. Okay? That's how it begins. And so right away, we're at this first point that we need to see. Notice then, tithing reminds us that God is the provider of all that we have. That is, tithing reminds us that all that we have is from God. In the beginning, God created. Everything that we are, everything that we have, every breath that we take is from God. God is the creator. God is the sustainer. God is the governor of all life, of all existence. All that we have is from God. Listen to 1 Chronicles 29:14. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? Here's the point. For all things come from thee, and from thy hand we have given thee. That the very things that we are giving are from God's hands, are things that we have received. Everything that we have, are, and do is from God. And so therefore, when God calls us to bring the tithe into his house, he is talking to us about what is already his, what we have received already from him. And right away, we're fundamentally oriented on the central truth of this world and this life, that everything that we have is from God. But not only that, tithing reminds us that God is the ruler of all life and creation. Therefore, everything we have is not only from God, but everything that we have is also for God. That is, everything we have and do is to serve God according to his will. So how does the creation account end? It ends like this. And on the seventh day, God had finished the Lord's work, and on the seventh day he rested, and he made the Sabbath day holy, set apart from him. And so notice the flow. The creation, the very creation account, it's from God, and it proceeds towards God, for God, okay? And so when in Scripture, when God is going over the idea of the Sabbath and keeping the Sabbath, he says what? 6 days you shall labor and do all that you have to do, but on the seventh day you shall rest. Why? Because the Sabbath is holy unto the Lord. For 6 days God did his work of creation, and on the seventh day he rested. Now that's important because God is basing our work day on his work day. God isn't only making sure that our calendars sync up so we all have the weekend off and we can all go do fun things together as a family. That's not what it is. Instead, it is this, that by basing our work week on God's work week, God is reminding us that all that we do in all of our various capacities is to seek his will, is to serve his purpose. In our labors, we are to be subduing the earth, uncovering, discovering, and shaping creation according to God's intentions, according to God's will. And so once again, as we bring the fruit of our week's work into God's house, what are we being reminded of? We're being reminded that everything that we have been doing is to be seeking and serving God. That tithe is an indicative that it's all been serving God. It's all been seeking God. It's all for God's glory. So tithing reminds us that not only everything that we have is from God, but everything that we have is also for God. Listen to Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's in all that it contains, the world and all those who dwell in it. Notice the difference here. Okay? God isn't just the Lord of your inside. He isn't just king and ruler of some spiritual matters or some spiritual realms. The earth is the Lord in all that it contains. Inside and out, God is Lord. And inside and out, he is to be honored and served. And inside and out, the grace that saves you is a grace that changes you. And that grace and salvation will be fulfilled, wow, in the resurrection of the flesh. As we stand on this creation, as the tabernacle of God is among men, the meek shall inherit the earth. Right? Here's God's comprehensive lordship. And so right away we're reminded, as we're in this action of tithing, we are grounded in the very fundamentals of creation. But that's not all. There's one more point. Tithing reminds us that God is Lord and therefore is to be honored with the first and best of what we have. Listen to Exodus 23:19. You shall bring the choice, the best, the choice first fruits of your soul into the house of the Lord your God. What an important message, because right away we're being reminded that we are to serve God with what is our best. We aren't giving God the parts where we've already burned ourselves out, we're already exhausted. We are serving God with the best, with the choice of our talents, of our abilities, of our time, of our schedules. We aren't giving God what's left over. And not only that, we are to honor God with that first. We don't go and make sure that everything that we want, everything that the world is offering us, that we have satisfied ourselves, and therefore anything that's left over, well, then we'll, you know, then we'll give a little token gift to God. Okay? God is the Lord, and he loves us infinitely. And so therefore, we are serving him with what is the best, with the first and best of our lives. And that's not just in our tithing, that's in our talents, that's in our time. When we're signing up for things later on and in our ministry signups, we aren't just doing what's convenient or what's not obtrusive. We are coming and giving God what he is calling us to do. We are giving him our best. Simply put, bottom line, tithing underscores the essential nature of existence. It reminds us and reinforces us of both the source and the first obligation of all of life. All that we have is from God. All that we have is for God. And we are to serve God with our first and our best. But not only that, it's not just a reminder. Here's the key point. And then tithing prompts us to act on that with the very sustenance, with the very livelihood of our lives. Okay? Where the rubber meets the road, Okay? It calls us to act on it. Every week, tithing brings us to a crisis of faith. Okay? What do we really believe? Who do you really trust? And the problem is, and I think, is it's for so many and so much of the church, we begin each week by telling ourselves that we can't trust God. That God may be the God of the heaven, He may be the God of our insides, He may be there in the future, but right now, today, we feel more safe and more secure with that extra 5% or that extra 7% or 3%, whatever it is that we're withholding. That's where our confidence is. That's what, instead of beginning each week with the very means and provisions that God has, by proclaiming that He is our first love, that He is our security, that God is not just a God of our insides or of the far off future or the distant past, but God is a God who is a very present help in trouble, a very present help right now in the midst of our lives, that His grace that will one day fully and finally complete us, His presence that we will one day see face to face is already at work in the very details of our life. And that is the most secure thing for us to have. That is the truest thing for us to have. And every week, tithing says, with your very livelihood, do you believe that? And so oftentimes we answer, no, we feel more safe with a pittance little bit of what we're withholding than we do actually with God. And it's a wonder that we find the church is messed up and as angst out as the rest of the world. Because if you begin by saying, I can't trust or I don't believe, then it's no wonder that you're freaked out and wondering if God will actually be there for you. That's the first thing. It locates us in creation. But second, tithing locates us within recreation. That is, tithing reflects the very dynamics of the gospel and the new life that God has provided. So when we talk about the grace that saves you as a... that's later. When we talk about the gospel of tithing, we mean that. It's not just a little made-up sermon title, okay? It is the gospel of tithing. The very dynamics that we will see in tithing are the very same dynamics that we see at the very heart of the gospel. That over and again, in every aspect, and everywhere we turn, God is proclaiming to us the same one simple message of kingdom and His kingdom life. Notice then, the same dynamics that define the very heart or the very essence of the gospel are reflected and reinforced by the dynamics of tithing. How? That's the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard. I'm writing a check to the church every Sunday so that the lights don't go out. What is reflecting the dynamics of the gospel? It's locating us within real... Listen to this. How? First, the message of Scripture is this, that God always goes first. How many times have you heard me say it? You heard me say that before? God always goes first. That God always takes the initiative. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Okay? The message of Scripture is that God always goes first. We are saved by grace, by what God has done, not by what we have done. God always takes the initiative. God always goes first. Notice then, with tithing, we tithe the blessing that God has already put in our hands. I love this, right? Because again, Christians, we're so dramatic. I'm just going to step out in faith, Lord. I'm just going to trust that you're going to be there. I'm just going to trust that I can trust you, that you're going to be faithful, that you will pray. Seriously? Okay. God has already been faithful. He's already provided. What's He asking you to do? To tithe the blessing, 10% of the blessing that He has already put in your hand. We're not waiting on God to show up. We're all waiting on you. Right? Tithing is the blessing that God has already put in your hands. And so notice then that just like with the gospel, God takes the initiative. God goes first. Listen to the Chronicles verse we've seen before. Hear it again. 1 Chronicles 29:14. For all things come from thee. There's God going first. Here it is again. And from thy hand we have given to thee. In other words, we give to God what God first put into our hands and gave us. You want to hear something else that'll blow your mind? Okay. That 10% that God requires, it's already built in to the provision that God has given you. God isn't saying, I'm going to do this much for you, but now I need you to go out and do the rest, and here's the payback that I need from you. When God calls you to tithe, in that blessing that he's given you, the tithe is already built in. God has already provided for you the very thing that he's requiring from you. He has provided it all. It's the gospel of tithing. God always takes the initiative. This is so important. God does not call us to tithe what we hope to one day have, or in hopes that God will come through and provide in the future. Rather, we tithe the blessing that God has already given to us. Tithing, then, is risk-free giving. God has already provided. However, risk-free giving isn't the same thing as doesn't mean that tithing isn't scary. It's risk-free. God's already given. But it is scary sometimes, right? It's hard sometimes. But knowing the dynamics and knowing what Scripture really says about tithing enables to locate why tithing is oftentimes frightening for us. Why is that? Well, it's not that we're waiting on God, because God has already put the blessings in our hands. Okay? Instead, it's as it always is, it's you and me, right? Maybe our priorities are messed up. We really like, you know, the NFL Sunday package on TV, and we're not willing to give that up. Or we really want to make sure that we can go out to the very fancy restaurant, and so we don't want to give that up. And so we don't want to sacrifice, so we tell God that he has to sacrifice and his house does. Okay, sometimes like that. Other times do we really trust God? You see, tithing brings us to that crisis of faith. Where is your confidence? Where is your security? Is God really a God that you can trust with the details of your life? Is he? Is he really who he says he is? Here's the bottom line to that. Let me give you an insight, okay? It all comes down to this. Will God be there for you when you die? Will he carry you through? Okay? Will he carry you over the threshold of death? Will he be there? And will his salvation conquer death for you and in you? Okay? Because if that's true, then all that worry about your refrigerator, all that worry about the downsizing at work, God has that too. Okay? If he can carry you over death, if he really is going to be there in that moment, then he has you right now. Okay? And so tithing brings us to that crisis of faith. But it's a proclamation of the gospel. Second, by going first, God's grace always equips and enables us to actively participate in the things of God. So think about it. We say this over and again. The grace that saves you is a grace that really changes you, right? And why does it change you? So that you can actively engage, so that you can be an actual participant, so that you can actually contribute to the kingdom and this relationship with God and to the kingdom ministry. God gives you, whether it's spiritual gifts or whether it's a change that God's grace is bringing in you, whatever it might be, God's grace always goes first. And by going first, it enables you to actively engage, to actively participate in the relationship and in the kingdom that God has given to you. Notice then, with tithing, God's provision, what God has placed in your hands, when God went first, it equips and enables you to actively bless, to actively invest in, to actively contribute to the very things that God is invested in, that God is blessing and contributing to. Listen to 2 Corinthians 1:3, beginning in 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Here's the part I want you to hear. Who comforts us in our afflictions. There's God going first. He comforts us in our afflictions. But notice why. We don't have to guess. Paul tells us point blank. So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves received from God. It's the gospel of tithing. God always takes the initiative. And when God goes first, it's always to enable you to be a contributing member of his family. So let me give you an example, and then we're going to wrap this up pretty quick, okay? Here's the thing. When I was a kid, my parents used to take my sisters and I, and they around Christmas time, and we'd go to the mall, okay? And we'd go to the mall, and they'd take us there so we could do Christmas shopping. Now, we didn't have jobs, and we didn't have any money, so they provided the money for us so that we could go Christmas shopping. We didn't have cars, and we couldn't afford gas or insurance, so they drove us, okay? And they took their time. And so they provided all of that, not because they needed the stupid light-up tie that said Dad and Flash, or the huge, gigantic rhinestone brooch in the, you know, the shape of a palmetto tree or a flamingo that we got for Mom. It's not because they needed those things or wanted those things. It was they provided everything so that we could express our love, so that we could have the joy of being a part of the giving, so that our little personalities could come out and we would have something in the joy of that giving. And that's exactly what your Heavenly Father does. He always goes first, and tithing is no exception, so that you can have the joy, the value, the worth of participating, of contributing, of being a part of what God and His kingdom are doing. Amen? All right. The third reason, why are we tithing? And this is it, we wrap it up. Third, tithing locates us within our relationship with God. That is, tithing reflects the very heart of God towards us. Wait a minute, I'm writing a check to God, but you're telling me that cutting that check reflects God's heart to me? Yes, I am. Listen, Deuteronomy 12:6. And you shall bring to the Lord's house your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, and what? Your tithes. Now remember, tithes were grain, they were food, they were food items, right? All this is edible that we're talking about here and during that time. And you shall bring your burnt offerings, sacrifices, and tithes, and you and your household shall eat there before the Lord your God. Notice at once, the original setting of the tithe was a family meal eaten before in the presence of, in fellowship with God. And this is so important because the setting of a family meal underscores the purpose of tithing. Simply put, tithing is for you, not for God. The beneficiary of tithing is you, it's not God. Listen to Psalm 50:12. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. Why is he going to go, hey? He's not telling you. Why? For the world is mine and all that it contains. I already own everything that you could go scrounge up. Okay? If I was hungry. In other words, you are the beneficiary of tithing, not God. Notice in the picture that Deuteronomy just provided us. God is a landowner. He provides the vineyards, the seeds, the tools for the workers, and if you want to go even a step further, the very heartbeat and breath of the worker. In modern terms, God has put up all the capital. He's taken all the investment risk. His is the field. His is the seed, the tools, the worker. All of that is His. He's put up the entire capital. Then at the harvest, when you expect the capital investors to get a return on their money, here we have Godonomics. Okay? It's completely different. Notice it at the harvest. God takes the 90% of the take and He puts it in your hands to administer faithfully. Now, let's be careful. How much of what you are, have, and do belongs to God? 100%. So don't think 10% belongs to God, and then the 90% you can go, you know, to the gambling halls and the brothels, and it doesn't matter. No, it's all God's, and God puts 90% of that into your hands for you to administer faithfully in reflection of Him. He then takes the 10% that is His cut, the 10% return on His investment. God takes that 10% that He requires you to bring to His house, and He throws a lavish feast for you and for His workers. God takes your tithes and invests it in you and your spiritual nurture, and that's true today. The handouts that you're looking at, the paper, the ink, all that, it came from your tithes and offerings. The guy who wrote that and put it in your hands, okay, that's also provided by your tithes and offerings. The Sunday school material that we use for your children, upstairs, that's provided by your tithes and offerings. If you're watching online, the internet fees and all the expenses that go into that, that's provided by your tithes and offerings. That's where it comes from. And then every week, God commands His ministers to take that tithe and offering and go and purchase and provide bread and wine that He may set them apart as the greatest feast that you will have this side of His return. Okay? He absolutely does. He takes every bit of what he's required you to bring and he spends it all on you and your spiritual nurture. There's the lavishness of our Heavenly Father. It's not a money grab. It's an act of, it's a blessing from the Lord. Bottom line, when I tithe, I am participating in the essential nature of creation. Everything that I have is from God, all is for God, and I'm to serve Him with my first and best. When I tithe, I participate in the fundamental rhythms of the gospel. God always takes the initiative. He always goes first. But His going first enables me to participate and engage in the things that our Heavenly Father values and prioritizes and engages in. And finally, as I tithe, I am participating in the very heart of God's love. As such, tithing is never merely a matter of finance. Instead, tithing is always an act of worship, of thanksgiving, and renewal. Amen.